Well, good morning. It is so good to be back on stage and teaching with you again. If you're a guest, my name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors here. Thrilled to be here. And many of you were wondering, was I ever going to be back on stage? With 3 weeks that we're in between, I'm glad to be here. One thing you need to know if you're going to be around this place is one of the things that I think is important is that you hear multiple voices when it comes to hearing the Word of God. I don't think it's healthy to listen to one person all the time in any genre of anything. And so I think it's great. We've got excellent communicators here. I think Joseph did a wonderful job. Brad was under a little pressure, just to let you know. I had heard Brad speak 9 years ago when we first met, and I thought he was pretty good, but I'd never heard him on a stage, here and speaking and teaching. So he had been told all week, hey, dude, don't suck, because if you do, you're not getting back up there. So I thought he did a really good job, and so we'll probably allow him back on stage. I'm guarding what that is. Probably Memorial Day weekend, which is National Youth Pastor Speaks at Church weekend. We'll let him up here. I am teasing. We're thrilled to hear. If you're a guest with us today, I know Joseph welcomed you. I would just want to say that from the bottom of my heart. Welcome to this place. A couple of things you need to know about us here. One, you're surrounded by people who are just like you. Everywhere you look around, I know it's kind of nerve-wracking to go to a new church. What are people like? They are people that are just like you. They've done the same things you've done. They've had the same types of things done to them that's been done to you. And so what that creates here is just this atmosphere of authenticity, which is wonderful, which leads to the other thing you need to know, that your story is safe here. That no matter what has gone on in your story, no matter what has been played out in your story, you're never going to share your story in any kind of group here, any kind of serving team, in any kind of scenario where you're going to find people that are going, oh my goodness, and they're going to look down on you or think bad of you and all those things. Not. More than likely, what you're going to hear is something like this. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. This is just a place where you can be who you are, and we believe that you'll hang around here, that God will grow with you, and you will grow in your relationship with God. And the other thing, if you got kids, you just need to know we're passionate about the next generation. We give over 100 hours a week towards our kids and our students here. We are passionate about seeing them grow up and in a loving relationship with Jesus and partnering with you with parents. So if you're new here, there's a couple of things we just want you to know. We're going to dive into a series that we've been starting and we've been talking about, and this idea, this concept of a soundtrack with God, which is leading us to Easter Sunday, which is next week. And, I've got my people that I have invited, and we hope that you're inviting people along with us. In your program is some different suggestions for how to do inviting if you've never done that. But we are leading into this with this idea of how can I live a life with God? I mean, fully on with God, just fully present and aware that God is doing. And we talked about in this concept that there are soundtracks, that the soundtracks set a mood for something. They take you back to something. One of the soundtracks that's just been playing in my heart and in my spirit and in my mind for the last couple of months is the song that we sang today earlier called Reckless Love. This idea that there is a God out there and there is nothing that will stand between him and his pursuit of you. That is how much God wants to be with you. He wants to pursue you, that God is passionate about living this life that is with us. So much so that we went through the scriptures and we looked at some different stories and different things, and the theme that we come through in the Old Testament is just this theme, this idea that God wants to be with us. Now, I began with a quote in the very first week from Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and I want to bring this quote back up because it's important for us to kind of think about what she has to say here. And she says this, that earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush of fire with God, but only he who sees it takes off his shoes. And what she's referring to is back in the first week, we started talking about the story of Moses when he was in the desert and he saw a burning bush. Now, seeing a burning bush in the desert, not that uncommon during that time, but he noticed that this bush was not consumed, that it would not burn up. There was something unusual. And because he saw it, he went and he was on holy ground and got to commune with God himself and got to have an amazing conversation and an ongoing relationship for the rest of his life because he saw and noticed something. And what Elizabeth Barrett Browning is saying is, look, the whole earth is crammed with experiences like that. You just got to be looking for them. That those who see them get to experience the very presence of God. So from week one, our goal for this whole series is for you to see how many moments, how many more moments in your life can you fill up with being consciously aware of the presence of God? How many moments of my life can I fill up with being consciously aware that God is with me? Like, if there was a few moments last week, I want to do a few more moments this week. I just want to fill up my life with this idea that God is always around. And being with God, I need to state this up front. I forgot this in the first service, but being with God is different than setting a goal to, let's say, read your Bible every day. Now, that's a good goal, and you should have that goal. Being with God is different than coming together on a Sunday and having an amazing worship experience like we just had. Now, that's good, but there's more. Being with God is more than the five-minute devotional that you have before you journey on with your day. Being with God is bigger than that. So what we're talking about, and none of those are bad things, but what we're talking about is something that is bigger, something that can encompass more of your life. We're talking about staying connected to God when you're making that commute in your car, staying connected to God when you're sitting in the cubicle at work, when you're walking across campus to go to class, when you're having to make decisions on dating and you're going out on a date, when you're talking with your spouse about parenting your kids, being with God in all of these moments. How can we be with God? Scripture talks about this idea in John 15:5. He's quoting Jesus, and we use this verse in the very first week, but I want to bring it back for us, where Jesus says this: "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The idea of what Jesus is saying here is, I am going to do amazing things through your life. I'm going to do some absolutely mind-blowing, incredible things through your life. But your job is not to do amazing things. Your job is not to do incredible things. See, we get wrapped up thinking, I got to produce. Jesus says, no, that's not your job, that's my job. What is our job? Remain in me. Be with me. If you will be with me, I'll do some amazing things through you. This is what he's talking about, this whole idea of being with God. One of the guys that I follow on social media put something out on Twitter yesterday that I thought, man, just really hit this home. And so I wanted to read this quote to you because I think this guy is getting it. Brady Shearer wrote this. He said, so much of my thinking during adolescence was don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. How many can you identify with that? True story, he says, once I stopped trying not to sin and instead focused that energy on just knowing Jesus, in other words, being with God, the familiar vices that used to entice me, ensnare me, just didn't have the same power anymore. This is what we're talking about, guys. If you're struggling, it's probably because you're trying too hard in your own power. Just try, just try, just try. That is not your job. Your job is to be with God. And if you will be with God, I can back up what Brady said because I experienced in my own life. The sins that I struggle with, the things I have power with, the more I am just with God, the more they fall away. How many of you have ever gone on a diet and couldn't eat chocolate cake? Right? And the whole time that you're on that diet, you're thinking what? I can't eat chocolate cake. I can't eat chocolate cake. I can't eat chocolate cake. What are you focused on the whole time? Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. What are you focused on? What Jesus is saying is, look, stop that. Be with me. Be focused on me. Some of you need to go practice that. You'll find out that your Christian life will get a whole lot easier than what you got going. And this whole concept, this series, is that he created the universe, and he sent his son, Jesus, on a cross so that he could be with you, not just on Sundays, that he could be with you on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and every day of your life, at every moment of your life. But it is your choice. Do you be with God or do you not be with God? Now, honestly, there's a lot of ways that I could approach this whole concept of being with God. And there's a whole lot of different ways to think about a relationship with God. And so I thought I would put a couple of the more common ones up here. And that is that there are people that have this concept of life over God. Most of us have heard of atheism and what it means to be an atheist. That just simply means that you don't believe that there is a God. But there's another position called being a deist. And I'm going to oversimplify this. So those of you that are academics, you can throw rocks at me later. But the oversimplification of being a deist is simply this. You believe that there is a God. There's a creator. You've looked around. It's like there's got to be a creator. But you do not believe that this creator has any involvement in this world and in your life today. That he's kind of just over everything that's going on, and he's not really bothered by what's going on in your personal world. He's certainly not bothered by any of your needs or any of your concerns because he has moved on to something else. So yes, there's a God and a creator, but he's not interested in this world. And so this viewpoint, there's no way that you could ever have a belief that he would be so involved that he would send his son to die for our sins so that a relationship could be restored, because a deist, one who was over God, just believes, you know, God's not going to bother with any of that. We just got to make it through life. And so that's life over God. Another real common one that we run into is what I would call life from God. And the oversimplification of this would be maybe like the health and wealth gospel. That someone who has this kind of theory or thinking about God is, I'm in a relationship with God because of what I can get from God. So if I can get a good life, if I can get a great marriage, if I can get kids, if I can just be healed, if I can retire with $1 million, if I can get a great job, if I can get a great house, whatever it is, God, if you can provide good stuff for me, if I can get it from you, then we're going to have a relationship. But if I'm not getting anything from you, then I don't know if we're not going to have a relationship. So God becomes this great vending machine that your prayers are like quarters that go in and you punch a number and you're waiting at the bottom for the snack. What can I get from God? There's a third view. I grew up this way, maybe you grew up this way, and it's what I would call life under God. This is basically legalism. That you were living your life under the crushing weight of a judgment-filled God. That you have to do this and do this and do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't date anybody that's doing this and don't, you know, and all those things, and don't have sex because that'll lead to dancing and all those things that, you know, that we all grew up with. Not that that's bad. But we had all these lists. And we live with this crushing weight that God is somehow waiting up in the sky for us to mess up. And the moment that we mess up, there's going to be a lightning bolt that comes from the sky and strikes us dead. So we live in constant fear of God. And we're always trying to please him. I got to please God. I got to please God. I got to please God. And it's just a crushing weight to live under. So what we've been talking about in this whole thing is none of this. Like, there's got to be a better way to have a relationship. And what we've been talking about is that you can have a life with God. Not over God, not under God, not from God, with God. That this is what his desire is for us, that this is what he wants from us. And Scripture really just plays this out, that this is what Scripture says that God is after. In the very first week, we walked through a lot of verses in Genesis. We walked through verses in Exodus. We went over to the New Testament. We looked at verses. And the common theme is that there is a God who wants to be with us. That the picture that you should have in your head at Christmas time, when it comes this Christmas, is not just a birth of Jesus, that it was before that. There was a God that was in heaven that was saying, look, I want to go down there. I want to be with them. I want to go down there. I want to be with them. I haven't been with them since the Adam and Eve in the garden, and I just want to be with them so bad. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. And then he goes, and he's with us. That's Christmas. God wants to walk with us, to be with us, to be involved in everything in our life. So what I want to do today is try to get as practical as I can on some everyday things that you can do to have a with God experience every day of your life. Now, this is going to be hard, because trying to track down practical ways to follow after God is a little bit like chasing around a wild animal, because every time you get God figured out, he moves and shifts. And that's why a lot of times the ancient fathers would call the Holy Spirit the wild goose. It's just like trying, you ever seen someone run around the yard trying to catch a duck or a goose or a chicken? So what I want to share with you is just some things that I've learned in my life. And I'll try to get as practical as I can. And I know for some of you, it's just not going to be good enough. And I'm sorry for that, but I'm going to do the best that I can. So how do you practice life with God? Number one, look for God even in the small moments. Look for God even in the small moments. Because here's what I believe about your life. Every moment, even the small ones, are jam-packed with God's presence. That His presence is everywhere, everywhere we look. One of my favorite authors is Frederick Buechner. Now, I get it, because every time I say this, someone says, how many favorite authors do you have, Clay? I don't know, dozens. I love to read. My library is really full. But Frederick Buechner was probably one of the more intelligent minds of the 20th century when it came to writing about Christianity. And he has a quote. It's a pretty long quote, but I want to read the whole thing to you because there's just a lot that's packed into this. So Frederick Buechner says this. He says, the question is not whether the things that happen to you are chance things or God things, because of course they are both at once. Have you ever thought that? Like, is this a God thing or is this coincidence? I don't know if this is God or coincidence. What Frederick Buechner is saying, look, why are you saying, is it this or? It's not an if or, it's both. That God is present in both. There is no chance thing through which God cannot speak, he says. Let that sink in. Even the walk from the house to the garage that you have walked 10,000 times before, even the moments when you cannot believe that there is a God who speaks at all anywhere, in the midst of that, God can speak. We cannot live our lives constantly looking back, listening back, lest we be turned into pillars of longing and regret. But to live life without listening is to, I'm sorry, but to live without listening at all is to live deaf to the fullness of the music. What he's saying is to ignore all that's going around. It's like just putting hands over your ears and saying, I don't want to listen to the beautiful music that's at play. Living life deaf to the music. Sometimes, he says, we avoid listening for fear that we may hear. Sometimes for fear that we may hear nothing at all but the empty rattle of our own feet on the pavement. He says he is with us on our journeys. He says he has been with us since each of our journeys began. Listen for him. Some of you have made an assumption that God cannot, will not, or is not going to speak to you. And the reason that you will not listen for him is because you've made an assumption, or you might be afraid of what he might say. You've got to stop. And you've got to say, know what, God, you can and you will speak to me. And whatever you have to say to me, I want to be open. I want to see it. I want to hear it. Because as Frederick Buechner says he has been with us since our journey began. Listen for the soundtrack. You see, when we are listening for during the small times of our life, it's like we are listening for those moments where we can catch the faintness of a soundtrack and say, oh, God is in that. And every day is just a collection of moments. You have 1,440 minutes. Everyone can be a moment that you say, oh, God was in that. And God was in that. Psalm 16:8 sets this up really well for us as the psalmist says this, I have set the Lord always before me. I've set the Lord always before me. What does it mean to set the Lord before me? It doesn't mean that you always sit in your room in a meditative state and humming. I mean, we got lives to live. We got things to do. What it means is that God is set in front of me like a filter through which I see everything through God. That no matter what has happened in my life, I am looking for God, because I cannot see anything that happens in my life save I see it through God. God becomes how I view all the moments that happen in my life. This is what the psalmist is saying. I have set the Lord always before me. It's the viewpoint from which I see things. And the reason I bring this up is because when we step back and we take God out of the front of our life and we put him in the periphery or behind us, we begin to see things like temptation. And our heart says, I want that. I want her. I want this. Because we have no filter. But the truth of the matter is, you don't really want him. You don't really want her. You don't want that job, that money, that thing, that compromising your integrity. What you are after and what your heart wants is life. You want life. You want joy. And you think that and that and that is going to bring it. But I think all of us have lived long enough to figure out that temptation and sin lies. It says, if you can just get her, or if you can just get that, then you will have life. You will have joy. And then we get that. And we don't got life. We have regret. We have a sad story to tell. We have embarrassment, but I don't have life. We have to put God as the filter in front of us so that we can get what it is we really want. Life. Jesus says in the second half of John 10:10, I have came that you could have life. And not just life, life to the full, he says. Life bigger and more fulfilling than you've ever had. But you've got to put God in the forefront. I was made by God. I was made for God. And if I'm going to find life, I'm going to find life in God. So how do we remind ourselves that we are with God? Let me give you a couple of practical things that Jody and I do. Years and years and years ago, my wife started this practice, and we've joined in, and we just love it. She got these little markers that you can write on mirrors. And we write Bible verses. We write promises, we write things out of our journals and out of our prayer time, and we fill up our bathroom mirrors with whatever it is that God is saying or whatever it is that really impresses us about God. And the reason is every single morning I begin my morning, I have to walk and I have to stare, and I can barely see myself, but I have to stare at who God is and what he thinks of me. And it reminds me, no, I am with God. I am in God. And I have to have a physical reminder, because I can tell you, if I don't, I can get up and I can just jump into my day and I can take on my day and I can go 4 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours into my day and then step back and go, I haven't even thought about God today. So very first thing in the morning, I get up and I read all these things and I say, yep, I am in Christ. God is with me. I am with God. It's just a reminder. In my office, there's a piece of art that sits above my desk, and it says, dream big. And people come in, and they just go, oh yeah, dream big, but what dream big means to me, and every time that I see it, is that God has said that his dreams for me are bigger than I could ever imagine, that his dreams for me are more than I could ever think, and no matter how big I dream, his dreams are bigger, and I sit and I look at that, and man, I'm going to dream so big, because whatever it is that I'm going to accomplish, God has something more and bigger in mind for me to accomplish. And I just play a small role, no matter how big my dream is, in God's bigger, grander story. And every day I look up at that, and it's just a reminder how big God is. You see, you need some reminders in your life so that the small things, you come across them. Some of us, maybe all of us, need some reminder in our car that we should not be a jerk when we drive. I need one. Badly. That's why there's no fish on the back of my car. Like, you know, the Jesus fish alone being flipped off, they don't seem to go together. But you need reminders of who you are. You need reminders that I am with God. And those are just some of the small things that I have. I'll give you an example out of my life a few months back. I was walking into, I was having to go into a difficult conversation. I was sitting in my office, and I was just dreading the conversation that I was going to have. And in that moment, I was sitting thinking, God, maybe I'm just not cut out to be a good leader. I'm not cut out to do this leadership thing. I can't lead your church. I mean, why would you choose me? I'm horrible at this. I'm terrible at this. In the midst of it, I felt like God came to me, and he said, hey, Clay, what you're about to walk into is going to be tough, and you got two choices. You can either do it with me, or you can do it without me. And you can choose to do it without me, Clay, and you can walk into that meeting, and you can say whatever it is you need to say, and I'm not going to be a part of it. And, you know, you can worry about all the consequences that are going to come and what people are going to think about you and how this is going to make you look and how it's going to make you feel. You can do all of that. Or you can go with me. And you can go with my comfort and my peace and my joy, and I will guide the conversation. But the choice is yours. I remember sitting there thinking, well, I mean, if you put it that way. And I went into that meeting. Did it mean that I didn't have to have a difficult conversation? No, I did. But I did it with God. And he guided the words and he led, and it was difficult, but it was the right thing to do, and all was well that came out of it. But you see, I had a choice, and God was laying in front of me. Hey, in this little thing, Clay, you can do it with me, or you can do it without me. You see, we have a choice every day. We can do our life with God, or we can do our life without God. Second thing, step out in faith. And I got to move quick. Let me show you another passage, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, skip down to verse 6. This is important. So all these are setting up this idea of faith. And then the author says this, and it is impossible to please God without, what's the word, say it together? Faith. Can't please God without faith. You see, we think that faith is some sort of Christian add-on. That eventually I'm going to add on faith into my Christian experience. It's like, no, this is how you please God. Just by having faith, just by stepping out. And what happens when you step out in faith, what happens when you lean into God like you have never leaned in before, you begin to see God in ways that you would normally not see him. You begin to hear God in ways that you would normally not hear God because you're out there. You're out there in uncharted territory. And so you're looking for God. This Good Friday service we're going to have this Friday, we've got some amazing stories from three people. They're going to share what God has been doing in their life and what faith and the faith journey has taken them on. It's going to be fantastic. But you see, when you step out in faith, you see God and you hear God like you have never heard him before. The staff here has been on a 40-day prayer journey for the last 40 days. And we're going to invite you to join us on a prayer journey on April 23rd, but you'll hear more about that. But this whole time that we've been praying, I've been praying for you. I've been praying some very specific things for you, every one of you. I've been praying that you trust God more. For every person here, I've said, God, just help them trust God more. Whatever trust level they are, I just want them to trust you more. I've been praying that you would step out in faith in at least one area of your life that scares you to death. To which you just went, Clay, quit praying for me. It's good. It's good you pray. It's not for me. I've been praying that you step into an arena that just scares you to death. Because here's what I know. When you step out into that arena, you will see God and you will hear God like you have never heard God before. I've been praying that some of you take a step and start a spiritual conversation with somebody at work or on the ball field that, you know, God has laid on your heart and you don't know what to say, and you're just going to step up and you're going to say, hey, can I just talk to you? I'm praying that some of you just step up and maybe for the very first time you get involved in a ministry. This whole idea of serving and the teams and all that just scares you, and you're going to serve. We have great ministry areas. Our kids and our students are just exploding and growing, and to be honest, we need volunteers. And we have been praying, and I know that God has been speaking to some of you about serving in those areas. I've been praying for you that you would finally say, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step into that arena. I've been praying for some of you that you would take steps to reconcile a relationship that's gone south and gone sour, and you don't even know what to do about it anymore. I've been praying that you would step into that. I've even been praying that you would increase your giving. And I want you to hear me on this. It's not because we need your giving. We're good here. We really are. Now, we could always spread the message further and take the message of freedom farther. That's what we want to do. But this is not a, hey, give or the lights are going to turn off. We're good. I want you to increase your giving because of what it's going to do to your faith. When you give to the point that you go, I have no idea how we're going to do that. and God comes through and does that for you, that's an experience. And I've been praying that for you, that you would understand what God wants from you. Again, it's not because we need it. You do. If you want to see God do some irregular things in your life, you're going to have to step out in faith. We all want miracles, but you're going to have to step out in faith. Without faith, you will never see irregular things in your life. Third thing, really quickly, don't mislabel your entire life as coincidence. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." This idea that no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you think of, it is not a coincidence. That God is there and He's a part of it. I've had the privilege, and I get the privilege, to make a lot of trips between here and the Dominican Republic because of our relationship with Compassion International. And my wife and I, we sponsor 4 kids there. And every time I get to go, I'm at a disadvantage because I can't speak Spanish. I'm a typical American. I speak one language, American. And So I feel horrible because I'm stuck between a translator and I'm trying to communicate, you know, and it's very frustrating. And we'll go into these little towns and these villages, and you'll see these small kids, and they're kind of hiding behind mom or hiding, you know, behind something, and they're kind of looking at you going, "What's the crazy white gringo guy doing here?" And I can look at the kids, and here's something that I've learned. That I can look at a kid, and even though we can't speak the same language, if I look at him and I just wink at him, it changes everything. Because all of a sudden, what I just communicate is, look, I'm not here to do anything bad. I'm here for you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here because I care for you. I'm here for you. Now, winking at adults doesn't have the same kind of connotation. Kind of works against you. But winking at kids works really well. Just recently, I was listening to a podcast by Squire Rushnell, and he wrote a book called When God Winks at You. And his whole concept was essentially the same thing that I've experienced, that sometimes in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of everything going on, God does something, and it's just like He winks at you. And so, look, it's going to be okay. Yeah. I've got this. You're going to be all right. And that we all need these moments that are God winks, and they're not coincidence. They're God winks to us. A few years ago, about 10 years ago now, I'm going to try to get through this without getting emotional. I lost it in the first service, so setting it up. 10 years ago, my wife and I, we resigned a church that we planted in Atlanta. And it was our dream. It was our thing. We'd given 10 years of our life to it. We thought we're going to retire here. We're going to live out. This is just what we're going to do. It was an area close to where I had grown up, so, I mean, it was home to me. And when we resigned that church and moved on, the only message that kept playing in my head was that I was a failure. And there was all these regrets, and we could have done this, and we could have done that. And I just would sit, and in my prayer times, I'm like, God, did I just waste 10 years of my life? Did I waste other people's lives? Was there anything that was good that could have come out of that? And just on and on. This went on for a couple of years of my life. And one year, we went back to Atlanta. We were visiting some family. And my wife and I, we stopped at a Starbucks, just a random Starbucks, not anywhere near where we lived or anything. And we're sitting down, we're having coffee, and this young couple comes over to us, and they began to introduce themselves. I didn't remember them, and they said, "Hey, a number of years ago, we came to your church when you were doing Connection Church." I said, "Yeah, I remember. I remember the church." And they said, "Yeah, we were there for a couple of months, and when we came, we weren't married. And we came, we were skeptics. We didn't know if there was a God, didn't want to believe in this whole God thing. And then we had to move. We took a job and we left, and we weren't there very long. And we've been dying to be able to tell you what happened." They said, we moved, and all we could talk about was this life that you kept sharing. And because of that, we got into a church, and we found Jesus. They went on to say, "Hey, and then we got married. And then we move back, and we're serving over this other church, and we serve in the kids department, and we are so satisfied, and now we're leading a life group, and we just want to tell you thank you." In that moment, God winked at me. And sometimes the God winks are big like that. I need to move on here. Whew. Sometimes there's small things that still mean something. My wife, a number of years ago, there's a picture that she loves. It's a beautiful picture of this young girl putting on a crown, and it just, you know, tells her that she's God's princess. And she wanted me to find it. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet to find it, to blow it up, to put it onto a poster, or to put it in a picture frame for her. And I mean, and I'm pretty good on the internet. I just couldn't find it. And she said, I'm just going to pray. Let me just pray. So she prayed a prayer. Hey, God, I would like to have this picture. Well, about a year went by, and this last March, a friend of hers gives her a present. And it's a coffee mug, and here's the coffee mug that she got. It's got the picture on it. And so she's sitting with it, and she's like, oh, this is really cool. And then she had this moment where God spoke to her and said, did you like the present I got you? And here's the cool part. So she has a friend that gave her the gift. I'll put it back up there. She has a friend that gave her the gift, who prayed before she got it, just said, I don't know what to get her. But God, can you just lead me to something that you would say would be special to her? And that's what she got. Sometimes God winks. It can be small. It can be big. But we all need them. Because this is how we live life with God. And if you're aware, you will see the God winks. Guys, I've been praying for you intently. I've been praying that each one of you can learn to be consciously aware of God's presence and increase those moments in your life. I've been praying that you would be so dissatisfied with whatever kind of relationship that you have with Jesus, that you would come to one that just says, I just want to be with you. I've been praying that you would stop trying so hard and that you would just abide in Christ and Christ would abide in you. I've been praying that for you. And I hope that you're beginning to listen and beginning to see God. Let's all pray together. God, this is a difficult topic for us because sometimes we can't seem to pin it down. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this idea that you really, really want to be with us, because sometimes we take things that are so simple and make them so complicated. God, I pray for each of us here that we would begin to step outside of our box and we begin to see you in all of our moments. I pray that you would simplify this message of being with Jesus to such a way that we would understand that all is required of us is to be with you. That the creator of the universe longs to be with us. God, I believe for many of us in this space that we just need to slow down. God, we're here. We are just too busy. We're too distracted. We're so attached to all these things that we think is going to bring us life, and they don't. God, I pray for all of us that we become so dissatisfied with the other things that we turn to you. God, that you would make us aware of the soundtrack that you were playing throughout our life. God, I pray that we would set you before us in our marriage. That God, we would set you before us in our dating life. That we'd set you before we go to work, before we walk across campus and go to classes. God, that we would set you before how we go about our parenting, how we go about our entire life. That God, we would be with you. God, I pray that we would see you, that we would hear you, that we would increasingly become aware of your presence from moment to moment to moment. And Jesus, it is in your righteous and your holy name that we pray. Amen.